Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, family. How you be? Today is the 21st of March, 2021. Welcome to Conversation. My name is Avon, a.k.a. Khadija. Tonight, my sister cousin twin, Mariam Ra, is with me. And tonight's show is entitled, Family, We Have a Situation. Now, this show is inspired by the recent development of the breakdown in the relationship between Kirk Franklin and his son, Tarion Franklin. Now, before we get started, I want to make a disclaimer that all things that we discuss as it pertains to Kirk and Tarion Franklin and their extended family are alleged. So, family, the call-in number is 515-605-9322. Let's go. Hey, sister cousin, Mariam Ra, how are you?
Hey, my beautiful twin cousin. Peace and blessings to everyone tonight. I'm very excited. Oh, gosh. So I'm very excited to speak on whatever subject you want us to speak on. And this is my first time on your show, so I'm very excited and very honored. You are awesome, and my cousin, sister. I want to share a little thing about me and this young woman over here. We are both first cousins, and we are both Geminis, so we are truly twins. We think alike in everything, so this is going to be a good show.
You got that right.
Yes.
Oh, cousin. And then to respond to what you said earlier, this won't be the last time that you're on this show. Trust and believe that.
Well, I'm looking forward.
let's discuss this. You know, I'm sure you heard earlier this week, I love to be on YouTube to listen to all the different things that's going on and what have you. And I listen to different things. It's not just one thing that I listen to. And then I hear I see a comment about, Kirk Franklin's son exposes him. Kirk Franklin curses your son out.
Right.
My first response was, I did the Scooby-Doo. You know that voice. I did a
like who?
Linda Blair head spin from The Exorcist. And then I said, this needs to be dealt with a two-piece and a biscuit. I said, how dare he come out and expose his father like this? Now listen, hear me clearly, folks. This was my initial response. But we all know that I am grown now. I have matured emotionally. So I said, okay. But that was a trigger. Trust me. And, I have children. I've been around children in the school system. I've seen kids grow up. And, I have relatives with children and all of these with kids. So I see how kids react or whatever. But the thing is, I know you can't blame the children because they're getting this from somewhere. So I know better. It's like, I'm not going to sit up here and blame the son or whatever. It was just this initial response to like, what's going on here? So I want to ask you, what was your initial response when you started to hear, discussions of these two?
When I first listened to that subject, let me just put a disclaimer, personally, the way I think is always a little different from most people. the family and friends who know me know that. So when I hear situations that's coming from the entertainment industry, or the sports, I'm that conspiracy theorist, I'm always looking at it in a 360-degree angle, because that's how I look at things. And so, like all the rest, but then I can also have a two-part into seeing it. I see it in two parts. I see it on a social issue that, we as a people, we have these kind of issues in our families, and everything. And when I hear about situations like this one, it just, I always, you know, take it from a root cause kind of aspect. Like I always look at the root cause of why our family's breaking down, you know, because, you know, I just kind of tuned in like maybe 2 weeks ago about this particular situation with Kirk and his son. And so I did my own little research, you know, as much as I can. You know, I have, you know, my sources of information that I go and then I'll do my research. And how I was looking at it, that their issue is not a new issue that's been going on in the Black family as a whole, because we have many of these issues that is, you know, has always been taking place. So I always look at it from a root cause aspect, and then I trickle down to it. You know, I think it's a sad situation. It's a situation where I notice a lot of people on a lot of different platforms, they are blaming the son. And this That's is how correct. I look at things. I don't think that when we look at things like that, we can never go by the fruit. The children are the fruit. The parents are the tree. So I never look at the fruit first. I'll look at the tree and examine the tree before I blame the fruit. So I'm always on the fruit side, which is the son. And so I did my research and I looked through their background, and you know, theirs is not an uncommon background where, you know, he had his son at a very early age. You know, he was 17 when he had his son. That's, you know, from all the sources that I've seen, he had his son at an early age. And when you're 17, you're still a child yourself. So, you know, in a perspective that he had his son at a young age, there's a lot you don't know about parenting. And I looked a little further, dug the background, and seen that, I said, because fruits don't fall far from a tree, pathologies linger on for many generations, and like his son being coming from a young parent, Kirk Franklin himself also came from a young parent, his mother, who, you know, had him at an early age and kind of sort of abandoned him after a while, where he was raised by an older woman, you know, that was not even his relative. So, you know, it's not uncommon that at some point he probably would abandon his son, you know, because as he got older, became a man, he found him a wife, and then he started a new family. So I could see how he probably could have neglected the son at some point in his young life, you know, where they got to this point. And so that's how I'm looking at it. I'm not looking at it at an angle, oh, his son is blasting him on social media and everybody's blaming the son that he shouldn't be blasting at. I didn't look at it on that angle. You know, I saw it as a young man who was lost, like many of us, you know, that had some kind of neglect and probably some kind of abuse, whether it was physical or mental or both, done to him. And he's like crying out for help in any way he know how. That's how I'm looking at it, you know, but that's my opinion. And that's how I'm, you know, trying to draw the whole frame. And then I'm trying to put it in a more social construct, that this is happening to many of us as, you know, in a Black family.
Exactly.
Some healing. Yes. Okay.
Right.
So,
I mentioned something, mm-hmm. but I want to comment on something that you said, because I agree with you. But all that said, because there's many levels to this, you know, I want to address what you just said about the mental issues, or if there was abuse, because no matter what was said, because there were about three tapes that I listened to and focused on. You know, the one that seemed to start it at this point, where the audio of Kirk Franklin cursing his son, and
right.
then you had comedians and everybody commenting on that, and the point was brought up. I'm going to address each individual video separately, and then I want your response on that, and then we'll connect it to this bigger picture that we're speaking on. Now, the first video that went down when Kurt was heard cursing his son, what I realized, that was cringeworthy, because I said, ooh, why, you don't want to do that. But I understand that there was a cry out for help, because this did not just happen this week or 2 weeks ago. There has been some ongoing, and the mother, Kurt Franklin, and the mother, Sean, both admitted that this has gone on for years, many years, and they were seeking counseling and therapy for this. And the thing was, the cry out for help is, well, what I want to say about that, because there are two things ongoing, two different things happening at the same time. There was a cry out for help, because I did notice, I need to stick to the video that we talked about first, that one. And then when he addressed that, the thing was, he let it be known to the public that it was basically, here's Kurt Franklin, and here he's cursing me out, whatever. But the deceptive part about that particular audio was, you hear from the point where you hear Kurt cursing at him, but you did not hear what preceded that for him to trigger that. And then it had been brought up and mentioned that, you know, Kerryon knew that he was recording his father. His father did not know that he was being recorded. So Kerryon would know that he would sort of be on his best behavior, or know what not to say, but to make sure that he got the response that he did. But listen, I'm not blaming him on that. I'm just saying, and then he got a lot of kickback from that. And, you know, and that was like, men, you heard Steve Harvey, you heard Ricky Smiley. It's like, so basically, what's the big deal? We all been brought up like that. And, you know, this is how it is. And, you know, he needs to grow up and be a man about this. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, there's no need for him to be out of order and to do that to his father. They admitted, you know, that yes, and they've known the family for the longest, and, you know, so on and so forth. And they know that more is going on to them what meets the eye. So what are your thoughts on that particular audio that was dropped there? That particular one where you hear Kurt cursing his son out. What was your particular thought on that? Oh, are you there? Oh, no. Miriam dropped out. Cuz, call back in. Cuz, we want your response to that. We want your response to that. And then, well, in the meantime, while we're waiting for Miriam to call back in, I'm going to take a call. The caller with the phone number ending in 0110, please state your name. Hello, caller 0110, would you like to make a comment? Hello? Okay, perhaps not. Maybe they're a little shy, so they'll want to speak up later. But caller, I recognize who you are. We'll talk later. Hello, Mariam. Hello, can you hear me? Mariam, can you hear me? We can't hear you, cuz. Are you on mute? Check your phone to see if you're on mute. Okay, I'm going to leave the line open to see if I hear you come in. In the meantime, okay, let's try it again. Mariam, are you there? Okay. Well, while we're waiting for Mariam to get back on the line, we're going to continue and go forward. Now, there was a second video that had come on the line, and it was Kerryon's mother, and she called in, and she was on the a show with a fellow co-host, and they were speaking. And what happened and what occurred there, the good thing that I saw was that we heard from the other parent and not just from Kurt, and we see the mother's response and what it was that she was saying. And it showed, and she made a statement that, you know, I'm not going to leave Kurt out here by himself, and that it's like a one-sided thing, and it's all, you know, it's not all that it appears to be. She admitted that they were young parents and that they made mistakes. She said, yes, you heard Kurt using inappropriate words, and she said, I have used inappropriate words, and Carry On has also used inappropriate words and carried on, and that they have been in turmoil for many years. And hold on one second. Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
I hear you, cousin. Khadijah? There you are. I hear you.
So my goodness. I don't know what happened. I was trying to go back in through the link that you sent that apparently was not happening. So I had to call in.
I'm glad you did.
Yes.
Working on holding you down. So did you hear what the question was?
I didn't hear anything. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got completely cut off. Sorry.
Okay, no problem. I was asking you about the initial audio that came out within the last week or so that started this, where we heard Kirk Franklin cursing his son, Carry On.
Right.
And the response that it got from the community, Steve Harvey chimed in, Ricky Smiley chimed in, Larry Reed chimed in the different platforms that are out here on the social media chimed in, and they had comments to say about that and about Carry On bringing this out to the public this way, and that they were aware that there was problems going on with the family and that they were counseling, so, and they had jumped in on that. I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that particular audio that you heard.
I heard the audio. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard the audio. I don't. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I did hear the audio. That's what, you know, and I'm hearing all of the other opinions that was said about the audio. I personally don't agree that you know, because we all have a freedom of privacy here and everything, and that was an invasion of his privacy with him not knowing. So I don't think that part was cool. At the same time, I don't agree with what Kirk Franklin was saying. It was just also showing, you know, revealing about, you know, how he really feels and his true feelings on the situation between him and his son. How he feels he don't owe him anything. He's a grown man now and get on with his life. And if that's how he feels, then the son should accept it and, you know, or they can get counseling and try to work it out, you know, because everything always starts from childhood. But to me, I was seeing it from that angle, and I agreed with both parties. I agreed that he shouldn't have called him without his knowledge and secretly tape him. I mean, call him and secretly tape him. You know, all the ugliness that comes from our family that, you know, I agree with everyone saying that could have been handled that way. But at the same time, I'm going to still defend the son because from my research, I found out some more rabbit hole stuff, you know, that how I like to dig and find even deeper, you know, things about it. I mean, this is a social issue that's amongst all our people. And I always got to take it back to the breakdown of the Black family and, the root cause of our breakdown. And I can even go back as far as the Willie Lynch syndrome. And because we are a living example of the Willie Lynch syndrome, you know, of the breakdown of the Black family from the father to the mother to the child, you know, back in the 70s when they wanted to break, you know, when part of breaking down our families was if a woman wanted to be on public assistance or get assistance from the government, you couldn't have a man in a home. That's documented. That's a fact. That's a public fact. Whereas all other ethnicities on public assistance or had some type of government assistance didn't have the same requirements. So why did we have to have those requirements? And, you know, so, it was done for a lot of different angles, the breaking down of us as a family. And they're no different than us. We all was caught up in that social construct. But even the bigger picture, too, when you come to these entertainers, they have other things going on and everything, you know. And so you can never take what you see on TV and things that's going on with them, you can never take it from face value. So I kind of had got other information that from my sources to say, wow, the rabbit hole may go deeper than what they need to meet the eye, you know.
Right. So, I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. It definitely goes deeper than what we see and what's going on. And this is so many levels. And I have to say, mm-hmm. there were several videos that was released in between. And I saw Carry On. And no matter what the theory or what we think as folks, there was a video that showed him speaking. And when mm-hmm. you look at him, you look at his body language, the way that he spoke, that there were, it could be one of two things or was a couple of things going on there at that time. And he looked like he was traumatized. He was traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
And you can mm-hmm. see it in his face and in his whole demeanor. And then one thing that I have learned, and I have seen it for myself in person, so it's not somebody telling me, I just heard or whatever, I've seen and experienced
right.
for myself. One of the
right.
things I was told from a social worker years ago, and that had opened up my eyes, they say when a person is traumatized, they arrest,
mm-hmm.
they developmentally arrest at that, whatever age it was where the trauma was experienced. And when what we come to find out, when you initially heard the news going around town, you thinking that Carry On was a teenager. He was some young boy or something. And then it was brought to our attention that he was 32 and he was going on 33 in this upcoming May. But the
mm-hmm.
thing was, if you listen to the way that he spoke, he did not sound like a 32-year-old man. He sounded like a 12 to 14-year-old boy that
right.
was speaking. And you can,
mm-hmm.
and the language that he used, it was like a pre-teenager that was speaking to you. Used words like he was mean and that you stole my daddy from me, and just the way that he spoke. And it just did not sound like a grown-up. It sounds like a younger person. So the thing was,
mm-hmm.
so I saw the trauma, and he was traumatized at a younger age. Whatever the trauma was, I cannot speak to it. So
right.
it was a mental break. It could have been
mm-hmm.
drug-induced, or it could have been a combination. I cannot speak on that. But I saw trauma.
Right.
I recognized that
right.
trauma was there and it needs to be addressed. So what everything that's being put out now is alleged. Alleged
yes.
that, because then where the alleged comes in the next part, there was a video with his mother speaking on the situation and she was backing up Kirk saying that she didn't, you know, that they were a united front and that they co-parented and that she wasn't leaving Kurt out there to hang out there and dry by himself. So she was, you know,
mm-hmm.
Speaking up on his behalf, and then she was speaking to her son. And then there was, what I want to say, there was a video. Oh, what was the third video that came up? Oh, and then the third video that was dropped where Carry On was being recorded and he didn't realize he was being recorded. And then this person who recorded him, you know, was baiting him and saying things or what have you. And then this is alleged. You have to listen to the video for yourself, people. But the person that he was arguing with, they got into fight and name calling. They were threatening to use mace, call the police, and what's going on. And then his tormentor started playing Kirk Franklin's music in the background. And so after they had fought and cursed each other out, name called, whatever, and then you hear the person allegedly was the voice of Carry On say, real good, you really, like, you went there and you played the music of my molester. And then that's when that's when it got silent. And then the person who was playing the music said, I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, with that, now I'll stop playing it. So it's just like you said, there's so many layers to this thing. What's going on? And it was mentioned that for this person to even have those thoughts or to get Carry On to spill and say, to get to this point, there means that there have been conversations beforehand, you know, that, you know, this was, something was going on. You know what I'm saying? And then, like you said, within the music industry and what have you, he could have been molested. He very well could be, allegedly. I don't know. We don't know. But all I do know is looking at that young man, he was traumatized about something. Now, like I said, just being young, we have situations in the family that, you know, when you're young and you have your mother and then dad goes off and he has a family somewhere else, you feel abandoned, left out, whatever, you're going to feel sort of way. I cannot speak for the young man, but something went on there. And everybody has admitted that something deep is happening, but we don't know exactly what it is. So do you want to comment on that, what I said thus far, or you want me to continue and bring in some other information?
Well, I really didn't hear that video. I didn't dwell into the family to that degree. When it comes to entertainment, honestly, I really don't really dwell too deep into it on their personal levels, whatever. It's just going by what's on the surface or what's being said and what's being told. I know I did my own little research and found out little things about their family that anybody can go as publicly or record and everything as far as the information that I mentioned about Kirk Franklin being raised by an adopted mother, an older woman who adopted him, and then that pathology of him having a child at a younger age and stuff. That's all, you know, something that you can find out if you do your own research. All the intricacies, of course, we will never know. And I didn't even dig it to the rabbit hole that deep on that level. I just know about Hollywood. And I do a lot of research on Hollywood, okay? And they fall right in line of all the research that I be doing about Hollywood, you know, and not only Hollywood, you know, and everybody know my little conspiracy mind, if you want to call it conspiracy, or alleged, or y'all use all these little fancy words that we're going to use. I'm seeing something else going on there, you know. So my thoughts on it is more on that level, you know. But the person is, they definitely have a dysfunction going on, you know, and there's definitely some type of break in between his relationship with his father. That's totally clear, you know. But I think that is something bigger. Not that much more bigger, no more than what's going on with my little conspiracy mind. And, you know, because I do believe in Illuminati. I do believe in rituals. And I think that it has something to do along those lines. So I'm going to keep it right there.
Yeah, but, I understand you 100%. 100%. And, okay. We have similar thoughts and what have you. But, you know, Bobby Hennett had said something that I had, and that's something that stuck with me also. He says that everyone, and look, the they, quote unquote, have an agenda. But the thing is, the bigger picture is you need to have your agenda and follow your agenda. We need to know that, yes, we need to be aware that things are going on outside of ourselves that we may not particularly do and get ourselves involved in, but there are things that are going on. But I'm saying we need to focus on what it is that we need to do. We got to help ourselves because we ain't going to get that help, you know, outside of ourselves.
And
so,
thank you, cuz. Yes, and that's exactly what I want to focus on. How can we heal the brokenness in our families? You know, and I'm just, we can use, we are speaking on that, in case the audience wants to know, we are definitely speaking on that issue because we're trying to come up with solutions on how we can heal ourselves so we can be, have our strong family unit. Like, you know, we would know all of the effects from, you know, this situation of this social construct pertaining to the Willie Lynch syndrome, I like to call it. You know, and we were broken down into the least common denominator as a people. You know, we don't respect one another. We don't look out for one another. Like, you know, we've just been broken down. And we don't even need the Willie Lynch syndrome is literally living in our subconscious mind where we automatically do it to ourselves. Like, we are on automatic with it. Like, we don't need the overseer or the slave master or what have you, you know, to be present. To be doing things to ourselves. We are self-destructive, and we have to change that energy around on the planet.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm more, you know, I want to more, you know, definitely speak on the healing of ourselves as well as our family. Because to heal yourself, you got to know yourself. And, you know, this is the way I would want to discuss, you know, that situation, using it as an example for a greater cause, because our families are broken down on all levels.
Absolutely. And,
we need some healing. We need some healing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We need healing, and we need to do that work, heal ourselves before we can help heal other people, you know, and we got to do that work. There's no running away from it. And to build on what you said, the thing is, because of these things that have been designed, we are afraid to parent our children. We're afraid that we're going to get called on, somebody's going to call on us, we're going to go to jail if we say this, whatever, and we're afraid to raise our children. And then they're feeling the results of that. And we got to be careful with that. And that's what they're saying. They also brought up the fact because of that. They were saying, oh, Kirk Franklin shouldn't have to apologize because of what he says, whatever. This is how we raise our kids. And it's bigger than Kirk. It's, we're afraid as a people. I've seen parents pick up and roll over to you know, I can't do anything with my child or what have you because they're afraid. Because they're, you got ACS being called on them. The schools can report you. All a child has to do is say something, and then the other thing, and then that leads us to the other thing, this social media. It can be a great tool, but then this influence that it has, this exposed culture, this cancel culture that's going on here. Where, what in the world that private family business that this, you keep behind closed doors and working out? You can ask for outside of help, but this social media that the whole world is in on your business, you know, that's a dangerous thing. And then I want to ask you this. Now, is it, do you think it's that Jerry Springer, Maury Povich thing that people feel the strength in numbers, that that's why they go on these shows and they tell their deepest, darkest secret? Is there some sort of energy? What are your thoughts on that? What do you think that is? And why we do that?
Well, basically, like I said, I always go back to the root. I always take it back. I don't dwell into the effects of anything. There's an agenda. There's been an agenda to destroy our families. That's what it is. America and the exception of America was built on the destruction of not only us, you know, America was built by criminals. America has a history of a lot of things, you know, in the social system. So I always, you know, don't go dwelling into the many effects that took place, you know, from us, you know, how they have an agenda. And you got to know the social structure of America to know what the agenda is. And
correct.
Sports, entertainment, and politics, they all follow suit to an agenda, you know. It goes in stages. And, you know, I could go more deeper, but I don't want to into it. I'm just knowing that it's an agenda, and we just got to know who we are as a people. And it can be just something basic as knowing, you know, that it's good to have a mother and a father to raise a child. You know, we got to have a strong family structure now. How can we get back to having a strong family structure? I personally want to take it from that angle as opposed to the many effects that broke us down, because it's many.
Exactly.
like I said, I want to talk on more on how we can heal our families. How can we turn it around and get a strong family structure, because the agenda is many. You know, we got a lot of agendas going on here and stuff against us. But
for real,
you have to, you know, I always draw off of some social, I always draw off of, I know Dr. Leonard Jeffries, I had went many years ago to one of his forums, and he was bringing up some interesting issues on social structure, and he drew like a pyramid, and he was saying, you know, the polarities of America's pyramid is VIP means very important person. It means I'm not looking out for you, I'm just looking out for myself, and I'm important because I have a title, I'm a doctor, and I have a lot of money, and I have a lot of things, so I am better than you, and you get yours the best way you know how. We don't look out for each other. But in other countries, I always like to use Africa, because their whole social structure in certain parts of Africa was get off from our ancient mothers and fathers. And that polarity is, whereas VIP means values, interests, and principles for the whole. That means you look out for one another. Any country that treats the elderly and the children badly is not an evolved society. And look at what we're doing to our old folks here. We're throwing them in nursing homes. We're getting rid of. That's not what we come from. We take care of our elderly people. We look out for the elderly. We look out for the children. We make sure they're okay. We shouldn't have to worry about a lot of things, you know. But this is not the social environment we're living in. And so you got to know the social construct of your environment. And, you know, it could go in many directions, but right now we just need to know. Another thing, issue I think we have here is none of us go through any rites of passage here. We've been cut off at the root here in America. The black man and woman in America has been cut off at the root, meaning we don't go through a rites of passage. We do not go from childhood to adulthood with any teachings. We just grow up, you know? So a lot of us are walking around like adult children. You
absolutely
know, we never went through a rite of passage.
No, I agree with you 100%.
We've been disconnected from that. And so many of us just grow up, and then our families are so broken down. Like for each generation, you get something removed. Like most children now, they don't know who their grandmothers, grandfathers. They don't even know if they have great-grandmothers, grandfathers. In our generation, I was fortunate. In our family, we were fortunate to know our grandparents and our great-grandparents. But a lot of people don't have that. A lot of these children are growing up in foster care homes, you know, or parents a lot of people are passing away and everything, and so they're getting thrown in the system. You know, it's a lot of stuff going on. So a lot of people are being disconnected from their roots. So, you know, that in addition to breaking down the family, it's like, you know, we need a lot of healing. We need
a lot of
healing.
Cousin, I just want to remind family that tonight's show is entitled Family, We Have a Situation. And we started out by discussing the Kirk and Kerryon Franklin family situation. But the bigger question is, what is the bigger picture and what do we need to see? The call-in number is 515-605-9322. Again, that's 515-605-9322. I'm going to go to the lines and check again. If you have a question or you just want to make a statement, please state your name and let us know what you think. We're going to go to live with caller with the last four numbers, 0110. Caller, are you there? 0110? Hello?
Yes, I am.
Well, hello. Would you like to speak to me?
I recognize that voice.
Yes. This is my sister Fatima that's on the line now. What do you have to share with us, Fatima?
Hi, Fatima.
Hey, Maryam. Hey, DJ. Yes, I agree that we are broken as a family unit. We do need to heal. But, see, we come from a generation where we don't discuss things and we push it under the carpet. You can't heal if you sweep things under the rug.
Exactly. I agree.
You have to have dialogue. So, remember, it used to be you keep our business inside the house. Everybody doesn't need to know what's going on here. So
right.
If we keep going along that route, we're never going to heal.
Exactly.
When you keep things in the dark, it's going to stay in the. It's not going to stay in the dark. It's going to come out some other way.
Right.
So,
but you know where Fatima. Right. Right. Exactly. You know where that came from, cousin. That came from. I could take it back to that Willie Lynch kind of thing, where you know they terrified us so to a point where we were told to, you know, we were teaching our children to be quiet and stuff. You know, that came from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that came from don't talk, be quiet, you know. And it even went all the way to our generation, you know, that be quiet and, you know, don't be seen, don't be heard. Because they found that that's their way of protecting their children and everything. But it kind of like backfired on us.
Yeah, it doesn't work like that anymore because today's children ask questions. They want to know why you're telling them to be something. And you have to have a good reason. You can't say because I said so. It doesn't work anymore. That's old.
Right, that don't work. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That definitely don't. So exactly, you know,
right.
I know
we
like.
We want them to be able to think for themselves, so.
Right.
Exactly. So we have to talk to them. We have to talk to them and we have to share and let them know what's going on here. And that's where we start. We have to talk to our children and talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
We, Maryam does that with her nieces. She talks to her nieces and she raised them. She's their second mother, you know. And, you know, we talk to our nieces, cousins, whatever, granddaughters. We have to talk, open up our mouths. Sometimes when you don't feel happy, you don't feel comfortable with family, then we have to set up a way that you can speak to therapists.
Counseling, yes. Therapy is good.
A family friend, another person, you know, in the family that you can trust, and you have to get this out. We have to learn to speak up now because you can't hold it in.
Right.
And once you keep repressing that stuff, it erupts in the most, at the inmost, most inopportune time in the most terrible way. And it's not cute when it happens. So we have to let this out, take this pressure cooker thing off of ourselves and, you know, let it out. because if you got all of this stuff festering inside, you're definitely not going to heal. It has to come out. You got to clean it.
I agree, Tessa. And I want to just like dote on what you, you know, feed off of what you guys were saying about, you know, the communication between the younger generation and our generation. Because the communication was always poor, like Fatima was mentioning. And we definitely have to tell the truth to our children and express it. The newer generation, like the millennial generation, they're more open with the children now. They are more expressive, and they pretty much really tell them what's really going on. And that's a good thing, you know, and I think that we all, you know, need to open up more, and like you said, communicate with the children, because they're smart and they're going to be the future of this country, you know, in this world. And we need to, you know, equip them and prepare them.
And you're learning it from the street.
Exactly.
Say that again?
Not the wrong things.
You don't want them to learn it from the street because they're going to get misinformation. But if you tell them the truth and what they need to know, then you don't have to worry about them going out there with half-truth.
Exactly. And they are very intelligent. I love listening to some of the things they're saying. I said, what?
Mm-hmm. I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot from them.
They're older than me. Please, I learn from them, and I want to follow their lead sometimes, the fearlessness and being uninhibited. That's a beautiful thing, and we got to be careful that we don't kill that spirit in them, you know, by telling them to, okay, you know, to conform, and you do this, so, you know, we got to be careful with that. It's a fine line, and like everything in life, you got to find that balance. It's a balance, you know. There's a time for everything, and we are working towards that. Nobody's perfect. Nobody has it 100%. This is what we're working towards now. So that is a good thing. Now, ladies, while you're both here, I want to ask you this, because my thing is always doing a self-work and how to help heal self and, you know, different thoughts on that. So I want to hear from each of you, if you don't mind. What are your thoughts on that? How we can help ourselves, and what are examples for you for self-help or self-work?
Well, I'll let Fatima speak on it first, and then I'll go after her.
Look, thank you, Tony. Well, first of all, we have to, before we can be honest with our children, we have to be honest with ourselves. So we have to face some hard truths. Other people, it's always easier to see faults in others that you can't see in yourself. So when I was working, we used to say, if you have a problem lining up the trains, you have to step back and look at the whole picture so you can see everything. When you're up close, you can't see it. So sometimes you have to step back, remove self, in order to reflect on what's going on and see your faults, because none of us is perfect.
Right. And that is part of self-healing. Yes, the self-examination.
Right.
You are so right.
So we have
and
to.
So,
we have,
okay.
So we can help heal anybody else, you have to heal yourself first. And you have to be, you have to receive someone's opinion or how they view you in order to heal.
Right.
Because you can't get mad when they're telling you how they feel. It's going to be uncomfortable. But in order for us to grow and to heal, we have to do the hard work.
Right. Right.
So if somebody said, they might not say it, you might not appreciate how they say it, but you have to take it in. Because if two and three and four people are saying the same thing in different ways, then there has to be some truth to it.
Exactly. It's just like if you call, everybody's calling the horse a horse. And guess what?
Yes.
That may be the horse. Oh, my gosh. Yes, yes, because you are so right. And that was so true, you know, and I totally agree with Fatima. I like to say Fatima sometimes. I like that name. But, you know, drawing off of what she was saying, I kind of look at things, like I said, in different angles, you know, coming from those sides. And like I was speaking to Khadijah, you know, we all talk from time to time and everything. And so everybody, you guys know my thoughts. So I would just like to share my perspective on how I view, you know, how I connect with the younger people in the younger generation to know not only self-examination, but, you know, to teach them to live in their truth and to who they are. So I always like to study. I'm always in the ethers, so I'm always, like, connecting myself to the earth and, you know, all the natural things, to the elements, to the earth, because I always relate to the sun and to the earth and how we are made up of the sun and the earth, you know, and how we are connected. It's connected to us. Everything is interconnected. I always, I'm teaching the girls about the chakra system, because to learn about the chakra system is to know who you are too, believe it or not. Because we have, you know, seven chakras in our body, and then we have, you know, it's connected to the solar system. And so I kind of use it on that approach because it's fun and it's so relatable and it's so connecting to everything, you know. So to study the chakra system, like I always say, like, you know, we got seven chakra systems and like three of the chakra systems that's below the belly button and stuff going on down, that's your lower self. And then if you could rise above your lower self and the other chakras, from the heart chakra all the way to the pineal gland, I'm sorry, up into the crown chakra, then you are really on your ascending to your higher self. You know, so I teach them on that level, and it's fun. And it's interesting.
And that's it. We, and you don't, and that's what I like about you and how you do it. You don't have to talk down to these children. Speak to them.
Uh-huh.
You'll be surprised what comes out of their mouth and what they can tell you, and they can relate. Look, they just got here, so they're closer to the source than we are. So they already know
something.
And, you know, they didn't forget it all, so speak to them.
It's true. And by teaching them that, I'm sorry to cut you, but by teaching them that, you learn a lot about yourself and about life and everything. You know, so we're all learning together, you know, what I'm saying. It's so much fun.
Absolutely. But guess what? They're a part of your tree. They're a part of your tree, too. So, yes, you are looking at yourself.
Exactly.
It's going back and forth. We're feeding off of each other. It's there. We got to watch ourselves. We don't want to cut ourselves off from who we are, because if you don't deal with half of you, a part of you, you are damaging the whole of you. So we have to be careful with that and watch that. Ladies, hold on 1 second. I want to let everybody know again, tonight's show is called Family, We Have a Situation. And the call-in number is 515-605-9322. And we have another caller on the line, so hold tight. Fatima, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold for a minute, and I'm going to take the next call. And then, depending on what's going on, you may be back, girl. So hang tight, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Caller with the last digits, 7093, if you have a question or comment, please state your piece. Caller with the last four digits, 7093. Hello, are you there,
Hello?
Caller? Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you
well. Hey, this is Ty.
Hi, Ty.
Hey, guys.
I'm familiar, but I didn't recognize the voice. Look. Who is you, man?
We can keep that.
This is one of my fruit. So how you doing, Ty? What say you? What have you to say?
I'm good. I was just listening in, and I was just, I think Miriam had hit on a couple, like, very key points. Like she just said, she's teaching hers about the chakra systems and that sort of learning about yourself is teach. First, she's doing it for herself, and then she's able to teach the children how to learn how their inner man works,
right,
which is where everything, you know what I mean, stems from. We have to learn, I believe, to be the best possible holistic teacher that we can be. And as we're learning it ourselves, we have to, as we're going through it, we have to keep it in mind that at some point we're going to be teaching it. So then that way, like she said, she connects with the younger, so she has to find innovative ways to connect with them.
Right.
And
exactly.
That's the way things change, because if you saying that we have to learn about ourselves in order to be able to tell anybody anything, and that the foundation would be learning how your vehicle works.
Right.
So she was, I think y'all hit some points head on. And I think it all just starts with yourself doing the inner work, and then it goes outwards, and then you just being able to teach it. And that's just how the society just gets better that way. But like you said, we were cut off. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And I think that that was part of teaching. I always thank you, Ty, for that. That was amazing, because you're a millennial, sort of. And I like to be around younger people, because that teaches you about who you are, stuff too, like we are connected. And this is a good way to connect to each other. You know, I used to teach on history has its place also, you know, of like history of where we came from and who we are today. That has its place too. But I think that we're moving beyond history. I'm not saying exclude history, but I think we can better connect to each other by finding out what we are. It's like, you know, going through school and these institutions, it kind of don't teach you who you are, you know. A lot of women never gravitated to math because you couldn't find any relation to yourself. And I find that these institutions don't give us those tools to teach us about who we are, because if you study math where you could equate yourself in it, or biology to equate, we would understand not only who we are, but how the human body operates. So, you know, it's connected. Yeah, I think that those things were taken out of not only school, but all of the church, all the institutions. That's just my personal belief from my experiences. And so, you know, we are a powerful being. You know, we are more than what we think we are. We are like sleeping giants. I mean, I grew up watching sci-fi. That's how come I like this subject. I grew up watching sci-fi. In every sci-fi movie, they always talk about the power within. Yes. So I always wanted to know, well, what is this power within? You know, you see these superheroes with all these great powers. You know, I grew up watching so many superheroes and so many sci-fi, and them showing them to have all these abilities, you know, and all these things. We have that same ability. We just don't know it, because we're not happening to half of who we are. So just imagine teaching your young children, and we're learning together, that kind of information. That's going to empower them. That's where the real power lies.
Yep.
If anybody can understand what I'm saying or understand what I'm saying.
As above, so below. Whatever is in you is on the outside, in the universe. And like you said, and science is, once you know math and science, you pretty much are connected to everything.
To everything, yes.
Because you get all the answers in those numbers and science.
That's it.
To everything you want to know.
Right. Not only math and science, I'm sorry, I left out big part. Nature. Mm-hmm. Nature.
Yeah.
Everything in nature. When you study nature, you learn about yourself. Anything that's related to anything natural, the protoplasm, the plant, the sea life, everything connects to us. We are all interconnected.
But we are not learning that in these institutions. But it is who we are. If you see how, if you study two animals and see how they mate or see how they do anything, or you study a tree or you study a plant or you study a protocol, you know, just studying everything is all related to you. We're all connected. And so, yeah, I didn't want to leave that out. So back to you, Ty.
Nope, I just wanted to call in and say thank you because y'all are hitting on some good topics, and this conversation is where, like, healing can start by just being real with everything and putting it all out in the open. I mean, y'all are doing a good job, and I just wanted to call in and say y'all are doing a great job.
Thank you, Nina.
Thank you. You have your aunt on the phone as well, Ty.
Say that again?
I said your aunt is on the phone as well. She says hello to you.
Hello, everybody. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello.
Well, gratitude, Ty.
No problem. I'm gonna let y'all get back. But thanks again, and keep it up the good work.
Thank you so much, son. We appreciate it.
Gratitude.
All right. See y'all later.
Yes, gratitude. All right.
Okay.
Yes, cuz. I mean, it's beautiful, and it's just so much. It's the time now. People are calling out for it. They need it. And, you know, we had our example earlier, but you know what? Mm-hmm. He's not the only one. A lot of us are calling out. We need help. We don't know how to ask for help. This has been an assault on our psyche as a whole. The thing is, with this situation, that's what I'm going to call it, situation. We have situations here within this situation where we were forced to sit ourselves down and really go inward and reflect on what's going on and who we are. And what we've come to find out with this time, it was, some would say unfortunate, but then you know what? I'm hearing a lot of people say that it was a good thing that happened. Because you got to see what you were made of. You got to see your true character, and you got to see other people's character. It all came out in the wash when we had to do this. And then the thing is, now, some of us, with the reflection, we say, okay, I see where I can do better, or I see what was going on, and I want to do something different. And then you also have those that are shell-shocked and don't know where to go and how to move. So there are some that are still stuck right now. And you can see it in their demeanor, how they respond to you. They're angry. They're mad. It's just, you see all of it. So this was a time, in my eyes, was a time for a reset, to start again. Take stock and do an inventory. What works for you? What's not working for you? If it's not working for you, let it go. And then it's time to clean out your closets and start new. And, you know, build anew and create the life that you want to live. And folks, we have to realize that we're responsible for that. We can do that. We have that power to do that. But it has been beaten out of so many of us. We're afraid, whatever. We don't even know how to think or how to feel. But we're here. That's why we're here now, so that we can help everyone, including ourselves, get back to our right minds and get back to our original mind. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Please comment. Comment, please.
Okay. Once you hit rock bottom, there's only one way to go but up. So with this time where we had time to self-reflect, it's taught us a lot. A lot of people have been settling, and now they find themselves fed up, and they're not happy where they are. So now is the time to change. Everything around us is changing. Nothing is ever going to be the same again. You can't be afraid to put one foot in front of the other. The worst thing that can happen is you fail, but you pick yourself up and you try again. We've always been working from adversity and coming from behind. So why stop now?
Right. I agree. Mm-hmm. That is so true, cousin. That is so true. I like what you're saying in terms of that. And I always, like I said, I always equate it back to that's even connected to the chakra system, what you just said about things that's going on externally. I always have the belief system that everything that's going out on externally is also going on internally. So it's always good to focus on what's going on internally to, you know, solve your problem, you know, and that goes back to understanding self, understanding what the self is.
Right.
And who, what, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You can't be afraid to spend time with yourself. If you can't spend time with yourself, you can't spend time with no one else.
That's
you have
right.
to know yourself.
That's right.
You can't change anybody or help anybody until you can learn to live with yourself.
Right. But you know, a lot of people, Ashe is true, and a lot of people kind of say those type of things. You know, you got to work. But a lot of people don't know what self is, and that's the question, too. It's a question within the question. But we have voices that we listen to, and the self, which is the God within self, you get all the answers. We are equipped with all of the answers to all of our questions. And if we just sit and meditate and listen, we'll get our answers. We'll get our
block
answers.
Out the
and the more you,
that's right.
Exactly. And the more you listen to yourself, talking to yourself, the more it'll get louder and the more it'll get you to, and the more clear things become. But so that it was a good thing that we were able to sit still and reflect on ourselves and see what really is going on, you know, because I believe that, you know, living in New York, you know, growing up in New York all my life, it's a fast-paced environment and you're running. You're working, you're going to school, you're part-time, and nobody really sits down and has time to think and reflect. And so this shutdown to me was a blessing in disguise, where you could actually sit down and reflect and think and go, wow, I don't have nothing but to pay attention but myself.
And
so
Mother
I think
Nature
it kind of... There you go.
Of course, the storms have been shutting down New York City, too.
Yes. Yes.
And who would have thought about that years ago?
Oh, please. Right. That would not have happened. Oh, no.
Nobody would have.
Because it was about the money.
Exactly. So I think it's a good thing, and we need to continue to have these discussions so we can, you know, and teach each other and grow and, you know, shed light to this new relationship to self, especially here in America, like I said, these fast-paced environments. Because anybody growing up in the city, they know what I'm saying. Like, it's like if you're running, everything is a rush, and you never have time to sit down and smell the flowers and smell, you know, nature, just sit and be in tune with nature. When you're in tune with nature in your...
because I'm in the woods.
In nature, for sure.
And he is in nature.
And they always tell me, slow down, Fatima. Where you running to? Take it easy. Slow down.
They know you came from New York.
I'm in the country.
And it took you a while.
Horses and cows and goats around.
Hey, that's some good people to be around. Good things to be around.
Exactly. So let me ask you, Fatima, so now that you're out there, have you exhaled and have you slowed down and got into the rhythm, or... You still have remnants.
Yes, yes, yes. When I come to New York, I'm all terrified now. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't stay here. I gotta get out of here. It's too many people. I need to get back to my.
I don't blame you.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah,
it's very easy to enjoy the peace and the quiet. I don't hear no honking horn.
Right. Right.
Like I hear, yeah. You can hear in the background.
Like we're hearing now.
Yeah,
I'm
hearing some honking horn. Wait, no sense.
Oh, I know.
But I apologize to this family. I do. Mercy.
No problem. We know how the city is. I'm living by a highway too, so it's just noisy. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So
I'm by a highway, but you don't hear no cars.
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. This is the same. It's a big difference. Uh-huh.
We're on the other side of the highway, the other end of it. For real.
Oh, okay.
So listen again, family, tonight's show is entitled Family, We Have a Situation. The call-in number is 515-605-9322. So we're about to wrap up tonight's show. So ladies, do you have any closing thoughts that you want to share with the audience? Fatima? Yes?
Well, yes. I just want to say, we had this time, continue to reflect on self and continue to be open to hear what someone else has to say. You might not always like what somebody says to you, is saying to you, but that's their feelings, and they're entitled to their feelings, just like you're entitled to yours. And we can't help each other grow until we hear each other.
People
can talk. They say, I'm listening. No, don't listen. I need you to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to hear what I'm saying.
Right.
And exactly what me and Khadija was speaking on earlier. Like, you know, we were saying about hearing and listening. So that's so ironic that you brought that up, because I was saying there's a lot of people who hear things, but do we really listen? And that's
important. Hear correct too.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I mean, people can hear things, but they're not listening. Listening is an art. It really is.
Yes, it is.
Because through listening, you will find out more about yourself and about other things and everything. Yeah. And so that's really important. That's the message I would have. This whole breakdown of our family structure through this a topic that cousin brought up, that is all interrelated, you know, the breakdown in of our structure where we don't listen to each other, the communication in our families are poor, the breakdown of our families are poor, and we have to just turn that back around. And it's going to take some time, but like I said, how we're raising our families, it has to change, because what we were doing before was not working for us. And we've allowed ourselves to be broken down to the least common denominator. And so we're just trying to pick up the pieces and have a relationship with ourselves, as well as our children, our husbands, uncles, fathers, brothers, just the whole family has to be restored. And I think that, you know, that's something that we can relate on. And like I said, I have my ways of trying to communicate with the younger generation and stuff, you know, to try to connect. So, yeah. That's my closing, cousin.
Well, I agree. And I agree with the ladies and what the ladies have said, and our callers called in and shared with us that please, family, keep an open mind and an open heart so that you can hear what it is that we have to share, and we can help each other and we can build and continue to move forward. So, again, tonight's show was Family, We Have a Situation. And we will be back again, and we will continue to have these discussions to help build and help heal as a family. So Again, thank you, ladies, for joining in tonight. I enjoyed you all. You had so much great information.
Uh-oh. Hello.
Thanks, cuz, for hanging in there with me and
gratitude,
hanging out
gratitude.
Tonight. Gratitude, yes.
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Yes.
And we're going to do it again. So until next time, take care, family.
Okay. All right. Peace and love.
Good night. Peace and love.
Good night.